Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. Bob Getty and Kelly Center. We are in the Southern Bank Corps studio here in Oak Grove, Mississippi, and we're glad you're with us each and every day, and certainly glad you're with us this afternoon. Mike Hammond is a play-by-play voice for Louisiana Monroe. He's going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. Scott Watkins writes for the Biloxi Sun-Herald and covers Sun Belt sports. He's going to be joining us and kind of get his view of the baseball race a little later in the show. Opening segment of our show today is sponsored by our good friends at Movie Star Restaurant, where you can go for a wonderful country cooking buffet 6 days a week. I never get tired of talking about eating, and there's no better place to eat, Kelly Center, than the Movie Star Restaurant. 11 to 2 Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 on Friday nights, and 11 to 2 on Sunday.
When you go for your cardiology appointment, Bob, do you ever get a gift card for Movie Star that your doctor wants you to go, your cardiologist wants you to go?
I always eat healthy when I'm at Movie Star, Kelly. You've been with me. I never eat fried chicken and peas and cornbread and mashed potatoes and okra and meatloaf.
Well,
and
if you
banana
do,
pudding.
Yeah, and this is only an hour show. We could go on and on. But if you eat it like I do, Movie Star is the only place to go.
You're right. Mike Hammett joins us from Louisiana. Mike, could you go for a plate of fried chicken, fried okra, mashed potatoes, and peas and cornbread today?
Absolutely, I could. Yeah. Sounds fantastic.
Mike's a Louisiana guy. He knows what we're talking about.
Heck yeah.
Hey, man, always exciting when the Warhawks come to town. Big weekend series starting tomorrow night. From the Southern Miss perspective, Mike, important because the Golden Eagles right now are trying to keep that top 10 RPI and host a regional. But the Warhawks have their own reason for wanting to come down here and play well this weekend. Kind of capsule the season for us.
Yeah, this is, as we know, a topsy-turvy, you know, Sun Belt Conference this year. Just everybody's packed in tight, parity all over the place outside of, you know, it seems like Coastal's got a little space at the top, and Georgia Southern's maybe started to lag behind a little bit at the bottom, but 2 through 13 has just been tight. Now, of course, Southern Miss and App State have maybe gained a little ground there, that number two spot. But ULM right now is fighting for their lives, trying to make it to Montgomery. You know, this is a baseball program at ULM that hasn't been to the conference tournament since the realignment happened ahead of the 2023 baseball season. So Warhawks haven't been back since the last year under the old alignment in 2022. So this is a team picked last in the league by a mile in the preseason coaches poll, you know, way down there at the bottom. But they have exceeded all expectations, I think, this year with first-year head coach Ford Pemberton, that just have been a very offensive-based group for the most part. The pitching has been good enough at times, and the offense has been kind of the story when they've had success. The month of April wasn't kind to ULM from an offensive standpoint, really kind of up and down. And you know, if you asked me before the season, I would have said, you know, for this team to make Montgomery, they were going to have to make their hay in April. With three home series and only one on the road, they were going to need to you know, win probably two or three of those home series. And instead, they didn't win any of them. They won four Sun Belt games in the month of April, yet they're still here in the race at 10-11 in the league. Wow. Because they swept Texas State opening weekend of conference play. They took two of three from the Cajuns and Lafayette there at the end of March. So they've done really well at times. They've struggled at times. So we're interested to see, you know, does the month of May bring something new? Did the Warhawks just not like the month of April? So that's what we'll find out starting this weekend.
Well, Tuesday night was good. You beat the tar out of Louisiana Tech 16-5. Am I right about that?
That's right. That was a dominant performance. ULM sweeps Louisiana Tech in their midweek series that and not just swept them, but run ruled them in both contests, including a 14-3 win in Ruston a month ago, there at the end of March, and then 16-5 last night and Tuesday night there in seven innings, and a dominant game where ULM got out to a 16-0 lead before Tech ever got on the board. So just six run first, I think three more in the second, and then five in the third, and just absolutely rolling at that point. The best ULM has swung the bat in the month of April, and so it is just one game though, and at that, so we'll see what they can bring, because they know they're going to be facing some really good arms this weekend in Hattiesburg.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how badly did you hate 10 running Louisiana Tech twice, Mike?
Now, Bob, he's supposed to be unbiased. You know that.
Well, that was pretty enjoyable. I know the fan base was all over it. And even President Dr. Carrie Castile up here in her first year as president at ULM had a social media post after the game that was that said "Welcome to the Sun Belt." So
that's a good one.
They were all enjoying it pretty well.
Well, Mike, I got to tell you, and I told you this prior to the show. I think regardless of what happens to the Warhawks the rest of the way, you guys baseball wise are one of the big stories, because you were right. Not only were you picked to finish last, people wanted to know if they could vote you even further back than last place. And when you guys are playing well, what is especially good about this Warhawks team? And conversely, when things are not going well, what really is keeping Coach Pemberton up at night about that team?
I think it's offense for both answers. I mean, that's the heartbeat of this team. When they're swinging it well, they are tough to beat. That's what they did against Louisiana Tech Tuesday. That's what they did when they swept Texas State, when they took two or three from the Cajuns and Lafayette. They were getting timely hits, clutch hits. They were piling up runs. I did a stat breakdown where, ULM was really playing well, 6-3 in the league at the end of March, and now at 10-11 in the league. And I broke down what happened February and March against what happened in April and why they weren't having the same results. And I'll tell you, the pitching numbers were very consistent between the two. So the pitching staff is not going to necessarily blow you away, but it's serviceable. It's good enough to get by as long as the offense does their job. And so that hasn't always been the case for this group. So when they were really good, they were piling up the hits. Jake Haggard's having a career year for him, that he's stuck around through the change. A fourth-year Warhawk that has already put up career highs in just about every stat category there is and has had them since March. He had an April that really... I think he has 47 RBIs on the year, and only six of them came in the month of April. So he's really struggled as of late, but got a sac fly the other night, and starting to seem like he's seeing the ball pretty well and doing some things well again. And Marcus Aranda's had a breakout season as a senior, and so is Cade DuPont. And when those guys are swinging it and doing their thing, this is a really good team. But they haven't been consistent over the last month about that. Yeah, 16-5, seven innings over Louisiana Tech. That's fun. Everybody's happy. It's going to be a good bus trip down to Hattiesburg. The guys are going to be in a good mood. But, can they sustain that? Can they find a way to keep that going? Because over the last weekend against James Madison, didn't score a lot of runs. They had 12 hits Sunday, only scored two runs. Just weren't stringing things together against the Dukes. Didn't do it against Arkansas State either. In fact, won a game against A-State in which they only had two hits. They got a two-run homer in the first inning and a walk-off homer in the ninth, and nothing in between, and won the game 3-2. So they have, they've found a way to win when the offense hasn't been clicking. They have lost a lot of games. They've lost a few here in April where it felt like they should win but just couldn't get timely hits. So I think that's what it comes down to. It's offense. When it's humming, they're a good team. When it's not, they are not a good team at all. And so I'm sure that's what's keeping him up at night, too, is he just wants the guys to be consistent. It feels like ULM has played at the highest of highs or the lowest of lows. They haven't played a lot in the middle this year, so we'll see what happens this weekend.
Well, but when you look at these standings, as you already pointed out, you don't even have to come in here. Although you guys play pretty, comparatively speaking, pretty well on the road, it's not anything you have to necessarily come in here and sweep the Eagles, which is, with all due respect, not likely. But you don't have to still be right there in the mix with one weekend left to go after this one.
I think the big goal is just to win one. That's what ULM wants. They don't want to get swept. They haven't been swept yet in conference play, and I think that's why they're in the race, because they've won two series, they swept one, and that's why they're still in the mix, and they just, you know, find a way to at least get one. If they're not going to win the series, they're not going to get swept. That's what their whole kind of mindset is. That's what Coach Pemberton said before the season. He said if they can just avoid getting swept, they'll be okay. And, you know, after this, they get Marshall, they get Troy the last two weekends. It's going to be a really long trip up to Huntington next week because ULM is busing that. So that's going to be a really long road trip. But they did it already to App this year and played pretty well, but only won one out there. And then they get Troy at home. And those are two teams right in the mix with them in the middle of the standings. So, you know, just try to find a way to get one. And I know even one loss for Southern Miss this weekend is devastating from an RPI standpoint, just because ULM's sitting about 140 or so right now. So, you know, the Golden Eagles, they need all three. ULM's trying to find a way to just scratch one, and if you can get more than that, that's gravy. So, really interesting, because both sides feel like really need games this weekend for sure.
All right, we're talking to Mike Hammett from Louisiana Monroe. Going to ask him to hang on here for just a few minutes. Right back, Mike Hammett, and more Sun Belt baseball talk on the Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Glad you're with us on a Thursday afternoon. Bob and Kelly, we're in the Southern Bank Corps studio here, and this segment is sponsored by our good friends out at Eagle Tire West. Former baseball pitcher Matt Warren and a bunch of Golden Eagles are working out there, selling Goodyear tires, full service truck and auto service. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. They've been in family business here since 1985, and we sure hope that you'll do business with them. Also, our wonderful friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, always want to say hello to them. Kevin and the guys are great, great people. Kevin, a former Redskins sufferer like me, so we have that.
Redskins?
Yeah, I know. It's hard.
Is that the old Washington Commanders team?
Be careful.
Okay, sorry.
Be careful.
Sorry.
The official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, Genesis sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West.
Well, they sure are beautiful automobiles. I've never been inside one. You won't
You've
let me get
inside
in.
Of mine, but I always make you sit in the back for obvious reasons. Mike Hammett is the play-by-play voice for Louisiana Monroe. We're a delight to have him here on the Eagle Hour. Mike, we were talking earlier in the show, or no, I'm sorry, we were talking yesterday actually about the latest D1 baseball projection. It was interesting. They showed Texas State as one of the first four in the tournament. And Arkansas State, one of the first four out of the tournament. Now, you said Monroe beat Texas State earlier in the year, but as you travel around the league, outside of Coastal and Southern Miss, what do you see as the best possibility of a postseason Sun Belt baseball team?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like if Arkansas State could figure out their offense, I think they would be a great threat in the postseason, because they have a fantastic pitching staff that kept ULM in check all weekend in that series a couple of weeks ago in Monroe. You know, Texas State is tough for me to judge, because ULM saw them opening weekend of conference play. The Bobcats had not been outside the state of Texas yet that point in the season, and it showed. They were all out of sorts that weekend. ULM got into the bullpen early Friday, threw them off for the whole weekend, and then Sunday, Warhawks got 8 runs in the first inning and just took it to them to sweep them and finish it off with a run rule. So, you know, that's real tough outside of those two, because this is a really good league that I think deserves more than two bids in the tournament. But the way this league has kind of been cannibalizing itself a little bit, you know, I think Texas State's going to lose some more games, and I think Arkansas State's going to lose some more games, and you know, I think App State's too far down in the RPI to make a run at it, that I hate to say it, but it may be a two-bid Sun Belt again this year. And, you know, I think this is certainly a league that should get three, should get four. I don't know that the Cajuns, I know their RPI is good, but I just don't know they've been consistent enough. They're starting to come on a little bit. But, yeah, this is I hope it's a league, because this league is good enough for three or four bids, and I think at times even five. But you got to piece it all together, and right now there hasn't been, you know, a team separating itself like, you know, Coastal's done it, Southern Miss and App State are starting to pull away, but App State doesn't have the RPI to go with it. So, yeah, going to be interesting to see what unfolds these last 3 weeks to see if anybody else can play their way into the field.
Yeah, because App State right now is one of the, I mean, record-wise, they're one of the hottest teams going right now, but they dug such a deep hole early, you know, to Mike's point, that they may not be able to get out of it, but they're playing really well right now. Mike, I want to talk about the Louisiana Monroe program overall, and really, kudos, because on the women's side, your softball team is hosting our women's team this weekend. The ULM women are second in the league, playing great softball this time of year. The golf team, the women's golf team, won the Sun Belt title last fall. Your women's soccer team won the conference title. So a lot of good things coming Monroe's way, and sometimes I just think that Southern Miss and Monroe are kind of kindred spirits, and a lot of our success gets swept under the rug. But, man, right now, particularly on the women's side, you guys are rolling, and I congratulate you for that, man.
Yeah, it's well, thank you for that. It's been pretty good on the women's side, like you said, outside of if you look away from volleyball, because that program has been down for a very long time here at ULM. But, I mean, outside of that, soccer has been doing – fantastic things. They lost their head coach, of course. Will Roberts left to go to Old Dominion, but they have really transformed from when I first arrived, a team that went winless and scored seven goals, I think, my first year here in Monroe, to being a conference champion. It's been fun to watch them. And then, like you said, softball last year had a chance to go win a conference title, lost that final series at home of the regular season to fall down to the number two spot, maybe even number three spot in the league. And then this year, they're tied with Marshall entering the final weekend, and so have a chance to do it again. But Southern Miss is going to try to throw a wrench into that up at the ULM softball complex
And we would be remiss, too, Mike, if we didn't mention our good buddy Scotty Fletcher, who led your women's basketball program to the strongest tournament finish that they've ever had, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Scotty has come in and taken, you know, what Missy Bilderback flipped and added to it this year, too. So it's been good to see the success on that side. And I think what a lot of folks in the general public see is, you know, the casual fans see, well, you know, your football team went 3-9 and men's basketball went 4-27 or 28, whatever it was, you know. And so they don't see the success on that part of it. But, you know, Bryant Vincent's going to give it another run this fall, and they feel really good about what they've got there. Ryan Cross in men's basketball has put together a heck of a recruiting class that I would be stunned if they're at the bottom of the league again next year. So there's momentum in the athletic department. It goes to, I think, for the first time, I first arrived here in the fall of 2018. I think for the first time since I've been here, and to talk to some of the people who have been here longer than I, for the first time in a very long time, it feels like there's alignment between the director of athletics, the president, your head football coach, the rest of your coaching staff. It feels like this is the best aligned it has been in a very long time. And when you don't have a lot of money to work with, you've got to have that alignment. You got to have everybody on the same page so you spend your dollars in the right places and do the right things. And Southern Miss knows that. And ULM is really working to try to get in that direction and doing everything they can to get their budget higher and find some more money and get the community involved. And, you know, you're looking for a couple angel donors here and there to try to get in and push you. So it's been real interesting because, you know, this year between football and men's basketball and the start baseball got off to, honestly. Baseball did not start well the first, you know, 18 games or so. Because Coach Ford Pemberton didn't know what he had, and so he was mixing up the lineups and doing some different things and whatnot. And at one point, you know, late February, early March, you're going, man, is this as bad as it's been for these three sports combined, you know, between football and men's basketball and baseball? But baseball's gotten it going now. Ford Pemberton, that's not really a discussion anymore. And you know, I think football and men's basketball are headed the right way. So, you know, people don't typically dive further in to see, oh, yeah, you got a conference title in soccer. You got a conference title in women's golf. You've got a softball team that's right in that discussion. You got women's basketball moving in the right direction. They don't really look that far down. And so it feels like there is finally maybe some movement in the right direction here at ULM.
Well, we hate that we're going to do this to you this weekend,
but we got to do what we got to do. Yeah, we got to do it. Hey, Mike, only about a minute left, but I'm just real curious if you can answer this real quickly. Now that it's official, Louisiana Tech coming into the Sun Belt, that's three Louisiana schools in pretty close proximity to one another. Honest answer, what is Monroe's feeling about Tech coming back into the league?
We're excited about it. I really believe that just to have somebody close by to restore that rivalry. It's been tough to get Tech to play ULM in some things, football in particular. That's the big one. And for ULM to get to host that first meeting, too, is going to be huge this upcoming fall. So that's going to be good to see. I think first time they've met in the 20, almost 30 years. So great to have them in. You love to save money on the budget. I'm looking forward to a baseball series that I can sleep in my own bed every night. And so that's going to be fun.
And well, a team that you can 10-run rule, Mike, every time you play.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes on a weekend as opposed to a midweek. But yeah.
All right. And we'll see how this weekend goes here very shortly. Mike, thanks for coming on the show, man. We appreciate you as always.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, Mike Hammett, everybody, at Louisiana Monroe. And he's a really nice guy, so I really didn't want to tell him we are going to curb stomp him three games in a row.
And it's not his fault.
He can't help it, nor can they help it.
He's doing his job.
They just happen to be in the way.
But you know, regardless of what happens with the Warhawks the rest of the way, the baseball team really was a story because people were going, you know, why don't – and some people were serious when they go, why doesn't Monroe just drop baseball? Yeah. Why don't they just drop some of these – well, you can't if you're going to stay Division I and Title IX and all those other – so
– but they've had success in some of the other sports.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Outside of the – I guess we call the big three. Is that not –
Unfortunately, a lot like Southern Miss, they've been down in football and they've been down in basketball.
Right.
So we know about all that.
All right, when we come back, we'll get a view of the Sun Belt down the stretch race, shall we say, from Scott Watkins. He writes for the Biloxi Sun-Herald, of course, and covers Sun Belt sports. He probably won't want to talk about his alma mater because I saw they were beaten again pretty badly last night. And, you know, if Monroe was the surprise team, I would say Arkansas State maybe was the surprise team on a positive standpoint. I have to believe Troy is the biggest disappointment of the baseball season.
I would think that they would certainly be in that discussion.
Yeah, no question.
Again, based on expectations.
Yeah. All right. We'll hear from Scott Watkins, get his thoughts about that next. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
That was a great conversation with Mike Hammett over at Louisiana Monroe. We appreciate his insight. You're right. A lot of similarities. Schools do about the same size, have to do a lot with a little. He talks about, I forgot to ask him this, Kelly, but he talked about Monroe having to get on a bus next week and bus all the way to Huntington, West Virginia. I wanted to ask him, so what did you think about the story that we saw a couple weeks ago where LSU chartered a private jet from Baton Rouge to Oxford and Monroe has to bus to West Virginia? It's so unfair.
Well, how long even is a flight from Baton Rouge to Oxford? Maybe 20 minutes?
Maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, my God. Well, if you got it, flown it, right?
Charter flights that short are God's way of telling you you've got too much money already.
I think so. DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. They don't have too much money, and they'd love to see you come join their club. You can bring your children down there for baseball and softball training, or guys like Kelly and I, well, not Kelly and I, guys like our next guest, young guys like Scott Watkins, could go down there and get much better at tennis or pickleball or softball or whatever sport you choose to play. So thanks very much to our friends at DBAT. Also, quick reminder that our good friends at MCS Home Center are going to be handing out 2,000 T-shirts Saturday when the Golden Eagles take on Monroe tomorrow. And I got my days mixed up. Day after tomorrow. MCS Home Center, Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West. 2,000 T-shirts this Saturday. Scott Watkins writes for the Biloxi Sun-Herald, covers Sun Belt sports. And I got a list of questions. Let me get started here. Let's run down them with you, Scott. Number one, are you still comfortable with the Sun Belt having two host postseason teams, Southern Miss and Coastal Carolina?
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with it. They're both top 20 RPI. They just kind of have to handle business going forward. Southern Miss is actually higher than Coastal, but I think Coastal is going to get more respect at the end just based on what they've done over the last couple years. But I think as long as neither falls apart, there's no early exits in the Sun Belt tournament. They should comfortably be top 16 teams.
All right. Second question. D1, as of this week, had Texas State as one of the last teams to make the tournament. Arkansas State, one of the last teams to get bumped from the tournament. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a time of year where it's less about ability and more about opportunity, and they've both got the opportunities going forward, but more so Texas State. I mean, South Alabama is a top 100 RPI team. That series is coming up. You got a midweek with Baylor. That's a top 60 team. Arkansas State, that's a top 60 team. UTSA, that's a top 50 team. You just have to, you want to sweep Marshall there at the end, but Texas State has a lot of opportunity to build on the resume and solidify the RPI so that it doesn't get boxed out there at the end.
All right, before I let Kelly get involved here, one more question for me. Does Southern Miss have to win its remaining Sun Belt series to host, and do they have to sweep some of those series in order to host?
I think you're going to want to win every series going forward because Southern Miss is in a bit of it's the opposite situation as Texas State. You have ULM, and that's going to be the best team that you face going forward. You got James Madison, and then, of course, because the Sun Belt loves you so much, you got a trap series against Georgia Southern there at the very end. And losing just one of those games is really, really, really going to hurt you. So, yeah, you want to sweep there at the end, and you want to win these next two series.
Well, Scott, if you're a fan of App State over in Boone, North Carolina, the way that the Mountaineers are playing right now, the argument is because we're playing so well right now, we deserve to be considered, maybe more so than Arkansas State or Texas State. But this is where RPI gets them. So what is the message to App State fans?
App State, you got to get to Sunday in the conference tournament. That's going to be the best opportunity that the Mountaineers have. You want to be whatever side of that bracket you're on. You want to take care of business and then beat either Coastal or Southern Miss. Get to Sunday, win a game there. And that's your best opportunity. I don't think that there's a big shot as far as at large of it goes.
All right, I think if we now, the three of us on this panel, ask who would be some pleasant surprises in the league this year and who have been the biggest disappointments. On the disappointment list, I would have to put Georgia Southern by far number one. And all due respect, Scott, I'd have to put the Troy Trojans on that disappointment list as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Troy came out, D1 had them as a top 25 team, I think, or pretty close to it, and they just haven't played well. They haven't pitched horribly, but they haven't hit very well. They got off to a horribly slow start to the year. It's preseason player of the year, Blake Cavill, for the first half was abysmal. I mean, you can't really describe it any other way. For a while, he was the worst qualified hitter in the Sun Belt. He's got his OPS up to 813, but they just haven't played total team baseball yet this year. They've been better in conference play, but they're in the same boat as far as, App State goes. They're going to have to get to Sunday to get an opportunity to get into the tournament this year.
And you know what surprises me about that more than anything, Scott? When I watched Troy play here, the three games against Southern Miss, they were very athletic. They were really athletic. They could hit the ball. They just looked like a really solid D1 baseball team to me. But they just overall have not performed, right?
Yeah, it's just one of those baseball things. They're not incredibly deep on the pitching staff. They've got a couple of good ones at the top, and then it just falls off a cliff. So you just, if you don't have that kind of depth, you're not gonna perform well when it comes to those midweek opportunities. But even with those, I mean, Troy's seeing some of the benefits of learning that it needed to schedule tougher. I mean, it got run ruled by Georgia last night. And its RPI climbed 3 points. So those opportunities are good, but you're not going to win them when you just don't have more than two pitchers on the staff.
Now, when you look at the pleasant surprises in the Sun Belt this year, although one of the teams is not going to be battling for any type of postseason play necessarily, I would have to put Arkansas State and Louisiana Monroe. Scott, what about you?
Yeah, Arkansas State absolutely has been a boon to the Sun Belt this year. You'd probably want to see them be better in conference, but I think the league as a whole has been really difficult because there's no more than two obvious tournament teams, but I'd say at least 10 teams in this league out of 14 got better from last year. And that's created an issue kind of there in the middle. I mean, you've got, five teams that are 10 and 11 right now, Arkansas State and Texas State. Are two of those teams, and they're right there on the edge of the bubble. So, I mean, it's a difficult league. Arkansas State has been a surprisingly good team, which is weird when you look at the standings because they're tied with Georgia State. So you want to see them finish strong.
Scott, well, I guess you would agree, too, that from a baseball perspective, bringing Louisiana Tech into the league next year will be a plus, right?
It should absolutely be a plus. It should only make the league deeper, and it should spur maybe some more investment over on the east side of the conference that you want to see teams like Georgia Southern, traditionally good program, and they've just been at the bottom of the barrel the last couple of years. You want to see maybe some of that college football playoff money that James Madison is getting. Maybe hand a couple dollars to the baseball program, see what they can do. And you want to see Old Dominion kind of go back to what they were. So hopefully LaTeX spurs that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm amazed that the Georgia State has struggled so with that fantastic facility that they have over there in Atlanta.
Is that, well, that smell?
Working
is it,
on it.
That dead horse I smell again?
We have beat him pretty badly. Beat him pretty badly.
Hey, Scott, I wanted to ask you about, back on the Louisiana Tech subject again, the fact that they paid multi-millions of dollars to get out of Conference USA and into the Sun Belt. Is that not the biggest cry for help you've ever seen from Conference USA? What is going on with Conference USA?
Yeah, I mean, the league's just not in a good shape, and as the sport continues to evolve to be more and more top-heavy, you're seeing the rungs on the ladder separate a little bit more. So it becomes more valuable to make that little leap up. Because, well, let's be honest, it's not going from Conference USA to Sun Belt. It's a jump. You're moving up the ladder. It's not that big. In the grand scheme of things, compared to the SEC, the Big Ten, it's not that big of a jump. But it's becoming more valuable to make that jump and better position yourself for whatever is going to come here in the future.
Well, boy, they spent a ton of money, Bob, to get out of that Conference USA deal.
So. Well, you know, Conference USA has just steadily gone down with the – I guess no fault of their own with some of the schools that they've added to the league.
Well, they're not what the schools that they replaced are, that's for sure.
I've always wondered why they didn't have a little more interest in Liberty. That seems to be a school with a lot of money.
Sun Belt you're talking about?
Yeah, Sun Belt. A lot of resources.
Well, where the Sun Belt missed was Dallas Baptist. That was the team that you needed baseball-wise.
Oh, you're not kidding. That would have been a tremendous addition. And they went into they went to Conference USA, didn't they, Scott?
They did.
Yeah.
And travel-wise, DFW is easy to get in and out of, right?
All right, Scott. Well, look, man, we really appreciate your input, and thank you so much. Every time we ask you, you come on the show, and we're grateful to you for that.
Absolutely. No problem. Anytime, guys.
All right, Scott Watkins, everybody, from the Biloxi Sun-Herald. And I think we're all kind of the same view here, you know. Southern Miss takes care of business. Just win these games in the league, and I just think you have to sweep the two home series, Kelly.
I don't think you have to sweep them. But obviously, you could further solidify your case if you did.
I think if you could sweep the two home ones, win the road series, if you're going to have to lose a game, I think you're in there. I don't think it would matter what you're doing in the Montgomery tournament.
Yeah, and if you're in, it doesn't matter what seed you are, or of course we think the Eagles would host, but you got to get there
that's
first.
That's what I mean. I think that you would have that host, and then when you go to Montgomery, just kind of extra money.
So and if you finish in that one or two seed, then you're going to get some help anyway.
Then you're fine.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, don't want you to forget that Saturday out at P. Taylor Park, MCS Home Center are going to be giving away 2,000 T-shirts. We've seen them. They're very cool. MCS Home Center bleeds black and gold.
Now, what about us big boys, Bob? Will they have?
They got every size, Kelly.
Okay,
they
cool.
got every size. And so, we understand that Scott Berry's going to be involved in giving those shirts out. Be one of the first 2,000 people at the Pete Saturday and make sure that you get your MCS Home Center Bleeds Black and Gold T-shirt absolutely free.
Even if you wear a triple medium like me.
Correct.
They'll have those sizes
correct.
For you. Yeah.
And if you need to sell some gold and silver, you don't need the money to buy the MCS Home T-shirts. Let me clarify.
Those are free.
They're free.
Yeah.
But if you do need money and you've got some gold and silver laying around the house you want to get rid of, maybe some old coins, maybe some old jewelry you don't wear, where would you take it, Kelly?
Well, I would ask Marty Vick what it's worth. Marty Vick at Jewel Masters, you've heard of him. He's been in all the papers.
Right.
Because he's been doing it for so long.
Right. That's not why he was in the papers.
No,
But go ahead.
Well, he's been in the papers because he's done it so well.
Yes, let's move on.
You know.
Yes.
So he's the one that I would ask first. He'll give you a fair price, and he'll let you know what it's worth.
I have reason to believe from some things I've heard Marty reveal that he may still be wanted in Panama City Beach. I'm just saying.
Oh, gotcha.
Some past experiences.
Did he bring up the college stuff again?
I'm just saying.
Spring break?
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I think Marty's kind of on pins and needles when he's down in that area.
Hey, you know, they cleaned up spring break down there now. Panama City.
Yeah, but Marty showed up before that happened.
I think Marty and his buddies were part of the reason.
That they had to clean up spring break. Yes, yeah. I would think that's probably correct. But if you do have gold or silver and you want the very best the very best top dollar, and you want to be treated very kindly, well, there's no place other than where Marty and Cindy work and own, and that's at Jewel Masters. Also, Kelly, and I say this every day, and I do mean it, we're so fortunate to have Forest Health in our community and so grateful that they sponsor our show. They encourage everyone to get an annual physical, stay close to your family doctor, make sure your health is as good as it can be, and remind you that Forest Health can help with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. I would attest that Forest Healthcare is one of the reasons that this whole area has become so attractive as a retirement community.
U.S. News and World Report always ranks Hattiesburg among the top because it's small enough to where you can get to your facility, not have to worry about traffic or things like that. And I know some of you younger guys are laughing, but you'll be
your
there.
Your day's coming.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. You'll remember Kelly saying that. There'll be a day you remember that. Hey, and if you want something really good to eat this weekend, well, I don't think you can ever go wrong at Dickey's Barbecue. They cook fresh food every day, as do their brothers and our friends over at Fuzzy's, which is really one of our favorite locations. Dickey's Barbecue does a great job of catering. Both restaurants actually do. And they can cater any sporting event. If you've got an upcoming church event, maybe a business event, or maybe just a family get-together and you don't want to spend all day in the kitchen, we would strongly encourage you to see our good friends at Fuzzy's Tacos if you're into a little Tex-Mex catering.
In Midtown.
In Midtown, and of course for barbecue, there's really only one place, Dickey. So, all right, Kelly, news and notes for Thursday afternoon.
Well, you got the big softball series coming up. Of course, we've talked all week about the big baseball series with the Warhawks coming to town tomorrow for the three-game set. The women will return the favor by going to Monroe, and as Mike Hammett told us a little bit earlier, the Warhawks are playing for a number one seed in the tournament, and Southern Miss currently tied for third. I mean, this regardless of what happens, this just two series less for the women, they're going to have a very nice seed in the postseason tournament for a team that was expected to do nothing based on their experience. A lot of freshmen and sophomores on this team. So if they can manage to hold together, the future has probably never been brighter since we've been doing this show.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Southern Miss softball program. So we'll keep you posted on that. Also, congratulations to the men's golf team. They had a good effort up at Annandale in Madison at the Sun Belt Conference Golf Championships that ended yesterday. Their top three performers, Benjamin Fernandez, Jake Moffitt, and Walker Wise, top finishers for Southern Miss. And we're hoping that Eddie Brescher, the men's coach, and Colton Cowan, the women's coach, can maybe be on the show with us next week as that sport. So the only sports left then after golf now is softball and baseball.
They're always welcome, that's for sure. All right, Kelly is taking the show on the road tomorrow. He will be at Century First Federal Credit Union down on Hardy Street as we get ready to kick off another weekend of Southern Miss baseball. And I didn't tell you this because I don't want you to be nervous. And I know you're going to get nervous when you hear this.
Are you going to mention IRS anywhere?
No.
Okay.
No, they'll be there. But the star of the Ben Windpigler Hour will be doing the show with you tomorrow.
Don't. Yeah, come on, Bob. I know. Do that to me.
I know.
Don't tease me like that.
The Ben Windpigler will be there.
Wow.
Is that amazing?
What did I do to deserve that? That is amazing.
That's going to be a very special show.
And my guest host tomorrow is going to be Dave Nichols, the former mayor of Monticello, Mississippi, who was a longtime public address announcer at Reed Green Coliseum. You remember back when the basketball team had huge crowds?
I do remember that.
And you'd hear Dave Nichols when a one-on-one situation, they'd make the first shot, and he'd say, "And now, the bonus."
Get him to do it in that voice, okay?
We will. We'll get him to do that. He's going to be a guest host with us tomorrow.
Eagle Hour at Century First Federal Credit Union tomorrow on Hardy Street. You're welcome to come by and say hello. We always love seeing our listeners. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.